Counterpoint.
Yes.
If James is looking at porn while we're recording, he'll probably talk less.
Oh, shit.
Greetings, that... Adam Fossey, and buckle up for the sticks. It's the After Vote Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
What is going on in my life? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, this is all ridiculous.
Oh, it's a good thing we have booze.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
We are, by the way, we are recording online. Salsa was unhappy with the amount of snow we got, and so some deity or forces of the universe declared that there would be snow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that force was called global fucking warming.
Yeah.
I think you mean global climate change.
The
I know what I meant.
Monkey's paw curled around the handle of a snow shovel, and
God damn it! Is James funnier online? Is that
no?
God,
no. James is not funnier online. James is just less obnoxious. I think
that's a strong stance, but okay.
It might be. It's also a full moon,
like a pheromone thing. Like, I don't want to tell you what you mean, but
not right now, anyway.
601, half a dozen of the other.
Anyway, so yeah, we're recording online.
It's a fair amount of hormone.
I get it.
I know Jenna does too.
Did you suddenly become James Salt? What the hell is going on tonight? I don't. Somehow James is funny.
Am I aware?
Salsa
James?
Is funny. I just. Or, I
that
okay.
Would mean I'm an unaware James.
See, do you see my confusion?
This is
what
all
the hell?
This is good.
What's going on? I'm gonna drink. I have. Yeah.
What have you got?
I'm drinking a diet ginger ale. Mixed with a Don Q lime rum.
Oh, that sounds
and the lime and the ginger, it's kind of my go-to at home here.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The lime and the ginger ale just marry so very well. And then the sweetness of the rum pulls through and it is exquisite. I had a bartender try one and he was like, "Oh my god, that's candy." I'm like, "Yeah."
I wasn't aware they were allowed to marry in this state, but you learn something new every day.
Hey.
Wow.
We don't need your conservative drink ideas.
I wasn't disapproving. I was just saying I wasn't aware.
Well, sometimes ignorance is just as bad as disapproval.
Listeners, is it just me or did Salsa and James swap? Are they? I'm so confused.
We're about to find out. I'm drinking spicy V8 and Drum Shanbo gin to make the world's, not the world's cheapest Bloody Mary, but it's close.
Oh, no, a V8 is the cheapest. The little boxes of V8
and
vodka. You should take those camping all the time. It's not a true bloody though, unless it's got accessories. James, what accessories do you have for your bloody?
I ate the olives already.
Olives, okay.
But there were olives,
and salami.
And salami, okay. Olives and salami. That's a good baseline. Right.
Yeah. No, I accept this. What are you drinking, Salsa?
I have a New Belgium Oak Spire Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Ooh.
Four Roses. It is a
dang
strong one. It is a 9%.
So it's a good thing you're not driving tonight.
I'm not.
I guess I made an assumption. You're correct. I assumed.
Anything like our other podcasts?
What happens when you make an assumption, Jenna?
You're sometimes correct. Correct.
You are sometimes correct. And in this case, yes.
Hooray! I win! Victory is mine. Hey, Salsa, what have you been up to?
You're going to make me go first, huh? Oh, yes. Not much. Just a little party at my house called Pi Day.
Yay!
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it was the, God, I want to say like 15th annual Pi Day. My kid was asking me how long we've been doing this, and I was just like, I don't.
Before you were a twinkle in your mother's eye.
We've been doing it a long, I think 15 years or so we've been doing this.
I might have some pictures from the first time I attended, and I don't know if that was the first one, but I think
it was still when we were living with our old roommates in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is where it started.
Okay. I definitely remember that because you had to go upstairs and there was that porch thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep,
we had the little balcony porch thing. That was, I loved that. Yeah. No, that was with the butler's pantry.
Yes.
That butler's pantry. But I think it's been 15 years now that we've been doing this thing. And nice. we've got it down to a science. It was a pretty well-oiled machine this year. We just kind of know what needs to get done and we do it and it's taken care of. My kids wanted to be eligible to win a prize this year.
Okay.
And in the past, as hosts, they weren't allowed. So this year they were like, we want our pies to be eligible to win. So it was like, okay, well, that means you're making your own pie.
Yeah.
I'll get ingredients down and I'll tell you what to do, but I'm not helping.
Right.
I'm not touching it, anything. This is on you. And they were like, okay, yeah. So they wanted to make their own, which means this year the Sterlings made 7 pies.
Jesus.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, a couple more than usual. Usually we've put out about 5, but this year.
Yeah, I was going to say 4 or 5. Yeah.
I made 4 myself.
God.
Yeah, it's. I what can I say? I like this.
I mean, holiday. it's so weird that you would make pies for a party that you have put together to celebrate pies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was originally only going to do 3 and my wife was going to do 2, but then she had to last minute, like our daughter who was going to a birthday party. So my wife took her to the store to get a birthday present and stuff. And
okay. Like,
I'm not going to have time to make this pie. Can you make this pie? I was like, okay.
Nice.
All right.
So I ended up doing 4 and she did 1. But yeah, we had the kids made a white chocolate tart that was very, very good, but unfortunately melted.
Oh,
It got pretty soupy, but it was a delicious soup. And my daughter made an impossible pie, which is one of those pies that you put all the ingredients in a blender and you pour it into a pan and you throw it in the oven. And as it bakes, it settles into layers and makes its own crusts and everything like that, and then makes a custard inside.
It's a good choice.
She did a fantastic job. It was perfectly baked, not too baked, not overbaked, not underbaked.
It looked lovely.
It had like a cup of coconut in it, and you couldn't taste any of the coconut, in my opinion. So
I probably would have discovered it real quick.
Probably, yeah. but like, I don't like coconut in as a flavor. I will eat a coconut and love it. But like coconut in things, I'm not a fan of. And this, I didn't detect any coconut in there. And then my wife made a honey raisin pie from a old book that she found in a antiques shop. That was just this little pie pamphlet. And it was really good. It had like orange juice in it and a cup of honey. And it was really good. It kind of set into this like pseudo gelatinous cube. And it was sweet and but not like super sweet. It had that raisininess to it. Really good. Nice. I made a chicken korma pie. It was like a pot pie type thing. That was super good. That was a popular one. I made my classic picadillo pie, always a winner. My usually in the past, we've made unicorn pie with my son. But that one's a bit labor intensive. And
sure.
And because he wanted to not have any help this year, he was just like, I don't want that pie to not be there, but I can't make it myself. So could you make it for me?
Fair.
And I was like, absolutely, I will make that. So I did that one myself. And then okay. And then what was the other one I made? I did another one. What was the other one? I made a mango pie.
Ah, yours was the mango. All right.
Yeah. Yep. No, I made a mango. That one was really good. I like that one a lot. Just a simple mango custard, but pretty good. Yeah. And then my wife made. I already mentioned what she.
Yeah. So. The raisin.
Whenever I attend Pie Day, there's not a lot that I can eat proper. But there are certain things like I would not have been able to do the impossible pie. Coconut is a hard fucking no for me.
Yeah.
If there's just butter, if that's the only issue I have, then that whatever, fuck it. But I have to kind of judge in ingredients. And I went, mango. Yeah. I have to try this. So I'll get like just the tiniest sliver of things that if I have too much, I'll fuck up my body. Just a taste of various things, really. And that mango was pretty good.
Yeah, no.
The piccolo was also good.
Yeah, no, that I get at this point, I can make that one in my sleep.
Right.
I've made
it. And he did.
So many times now at this point. Well, that was the other one that my wife was going to make. Because I was like, I make that one every year because it's popular and it's good. And I was just like, I really want to try something different, but I don't want to make a million pies. So it's like, I've really got to like commit to not making something that I always make so I can make something else.
Right.
So I didn't make the cheeseburger pie this year, and I was not going to do the picadillo. And my wife was like, well, if you're not doing that one, I will do that one. I was like, awesome. And then I ended up making it anyway. It's like
fated picadillo.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, though. It's destined, such a good pie.
Destined picadillo?
Yeah. Mm. And I brought some back for Joe. And he was like, he appreciated it. He was like, I didn't expect to like that, but I did.
It's real good.
We had wanted to grab a bunch to bring with us and then had to hit the eject button pretty quickly, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But that place was full of delicious pie.
It really, really was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we had a lot of people show up and we had a lot of fun. And the kids all went downstairs immediately and
oh, God.
Absolutely destroyed the basement.
Oh,
my goodness. Like my kids worked really hard and cleaned the whole basement and they did a great job. And then within 3 hours, the whole basement, like everything was on the floor and
worse than before they started cleaning way it in
worse,
the first place.
Way worse. Yeah. Way worse. And I told the kids, I was like, I'd like this to get cleaned up. And you could see like the look in their eye, like, but I didn't even make this mess.
Yeah. Welcome to life, kids.
Yeah. No. And they didn't complain.
That's like, good.
Yeah. I mean, and if they had complained, it would have been like, yeah, well, I clean the rest of the house after the party.
Right.
This is one room you can do, but they didn't complain. They just kind of looked at it and went,
that's fair.
You could kind of see the defeat in their eye, but they did it anyway. So yeah, no, it was all in all, it was a great party, a lot of fun. We had, I don't know, somewhere in the area between 30 and 40 pies, I'd say.
Jeez.
A good blend of you know, the savories and sweets. The winning pie this year, the savory, was a hobbit pie.
So good.
Which had three different kinds of mushroom in it.
And truffle oil.
Yep. It was it was real good. And the sweet pie, Pedantic Eric made a lime cheesecake with lime curd on top.
Yep.
And it was real good.
I did sneak a taste of that and it was good. The mushroom pie, the savory pie, I actually went back for a little bit more. Like I had grabbed a taste and I was like, no, I'm going to have more of this one.
Yeah.
This is worth it.
The one that really blew me away though, honestly, and the one I was, it came
was
close.
The exploding pie.
It came close to winning, but didn't quite make it, was the apricot pie.
Oh.
Mm.
The apricot pie was abso-fucking-lutely amazing. It blew me away. And when they put the whipped cream on top, they piped whipped cream on top, but it had like rainbow like color streaks.
I did see that whipped cream.
It was real pretty.
Yeah, that was super pretty.
And it also was de-fucking-licious.
That sounds amazing.
And I was so full by the time I got to it that I took just a tiny sliver because it was all I could eat. And I took a bite and I was like, I'm so angry that I'm so full that I can't eat more of this.
Right.
I regret that I have but one stomach to offer this party.
Exactly. it was super good. But it's one of those. I love this thing because over the years, we've really cultivated an environment where people are encouraged to try new things. This isn't like just, get a pie from a store and come on. It's like, no,
sure.
Go crazy. Try something new. Do something that's going to make everybody go, what? You made what? And if it doesn't work, oh, well.
Right.
Your pie doesn't set. It's got a soggy bottom. Who fucking cares? We'll still try it and we'll still look at it and go, that was a good idea. We really appreciate the attempt. And I really appreciate that with this party in that people really do. They go all out. They pull out all the stops and they try to really just impress, push the boundaries of what it means to be a pie. I love it. I love it so much. So,
yeah. Were there any gluten-free hand pies this year, Salsa?
I don't think there were gluten-free. There was the tarts with like bacon jelly, which were fucking amazing.
Yeah,
but I don't remember any gluten-free hand pies.
No gluten-free hand pie sitting on a bed of green onions.
I don't know if I would call that a hand pie.
Ooh.
Here's what I'm gonna say. that pie was made with pizza dough mix. So I believe by definition, the type of dough used. The shape of the pie. I'm gonna say it was a hand pie.
I mean, that was a panini, is what that was. Not a panini. Not a panini. What's it called?
Calzone.
It was a calzone.
which is a type of hand pie.
That is true.
If all a right. pizza is a pie,
no, I will.
A calzone is a hand pie.
I am conceding. That Ooh, was a shit. One job. What?
You heard it here first.
What? She was right. Why would I have a problem conceding that?
Well, yeah, that's okay. No, the unique offering of this episode is not that Jenna was right. That does happen all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
What is unique is that one of us is conceding the point to another,
no,
which is a little more rare.
Well, that's because she's not often right, but in this case she was.
ah
One of you is incorrect because you have both made opposite statements about the consistency of my correctness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I leave it to the audience to decide. But I know
the comments.
No, I purposefully left your pie out so you could talk about it. Now the floor is yours.
The floor pie.
I honestly, one of the things that I love about the Pie Day Party is that I get to try to make stuff that meets all of my dietary requirements.
And they are many.
And often it is the only thing I can eat at the party. There were two things I could technically that were completely Jenna safe. And that was my pie and the gluten-free apple ginger or apple maple bourbon.
That one was
stellar. Yeah.
There was, in my opinion, too much ginger.
I disagree.
And that's okay. No. The ginger for me was a bit.
And you know what? I may have just been happy that there was something I could eat. There's that. But I was glad it was a dessert pie because I was looking at all of the other dessert pies going, son of a bitch. So the pie that I made is a crab rangoon hand pie. And I did it in, Lex also said, like a calzone kind of shape, right? Just folded over so it's like a half circle all domed up. And it kind of looked like a crab. So I needed to give it a couple of vent holes, so I did that where the eyes would be, roughly. And so I made like a little... I'd wanted to give it like little claws to hang out in front, but I couldn't get the gluten-free crustiness to work proper. So there were no crab claws, but it was dairy-free, gluten-free imitation crab. Like I think I hit just about every dietary restriction. Except I did do an egg wash on it because you have to with gluten-free stuff.
Sure.
The difficulty in working with gluten-free flour mix, dough, anything like that, is that there's nothing to really hold it together. Like, and there's things you'll put in there like xanthan gum or other various things, but it just doesn't, it's not the same. It doesn't bake properly because it's not fucking gluten. I have for years struggled to make something gluten-free that was actually like decent. And I think I got it this year, honestly. I was very pleased with my crab rangoon hand pie, and it looked adorable. I will post pictures in the Discord.
It was adorable and delicious.
Yeah, it tasted good.
Thank you.
I was very glad that I had a slice of that. I was also glad to have had a slice of the rainbow cake, like the rainbow pie. And I did get some of the impossible pie, and I did get some of the little hand pies that were the onion mushroom. Those were fantastic. But yeah, I saved the crab rangoon for last, so that would be the thing that I got to savor.
And I honestly had concerns because the crab flavor profile, just with all of the sweet pies and the like meaty pies that we had on the table, I was really afraid that I was going to hit that like seafood flavor, and it was just going to be wrong.
Right.
Mm.
And I didn't have that effect. It didn't like take me out of it. I didn't go, oh, this is no. weird suddenly, you know, it was,
well, suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I did try to keep what I did closer to the flavor profile that would be available. So I started with garlic and onions. And
oh, good job, James. Thanks for letting us know about that.
Jesus Christ. Mm. You guys.
That was a bit of luck.
Fuck. And I did actually, I went a little heavier on like the Worcestershire.
Gesundheit.
Went a little heavier on that sauce just because I felt a little more earthiness to tie in with everything else that was going to be there on the savory side. Wouldn't go amiss. But yeah, I was pretty happy.
Yeah.
So
I'm definitely a fan of mock crab.
Real or mock, I'll take it either way.
Yes, truly.
Yeah. Both. I went imitation to try to be nice to people with shellfish issues because I knew at least one person there would have shellfish issues. So
it's a pretty strong bet.
I was being very, very shellfish about it. And anyway. But yeah, no, it was a delightful pie day all around.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you were up to, Salsa?
Yeah, what else?
I don't know. I think
cleaning, I feel like that's a substantial enough achievement.
For pie day. I mean, it is.
Like, we had pie day, and then Sunday we sat at home and did fucking nothing. Because, no.
Also bad.
I can't think. I think I just cleaned the house for a week and then had pie day and then digested for like 48 hours.
That's fair.
He curled up in his warm hide and digested for 48 hours. Yeah.
What about you, James? What have you been up to?
Well, aside from attending a friend's magnificent pie day ceremony, I had a family birthday. One of my in-laws had a birthday, and we ended up going to Cafe Latte to celebrate that. What can we get you? You know, you've just had a light lunch of soup and salad. Aren't you gonna, like, they've got sandwiches and they've got pie and they've got all this other stuff. And we went, no, we're going somewhere. And then, but it was so nice. It was, I know that there's like the classic boomer humor thing, right along with wife bad is mother-in-law bad. And that's just, it's not the case. They told us about their trip to Spain. It was delightful. We had a wonderful lunch. I was supposed to go to a play on Sunday. Astute listeners who are aware of the weather patterns in Minnesota may guess that that did not happen, and that is correct.
Sure.
Instead, we we were going to run to get a couple of supplies for Jax's crafts shortly before, just make like an on-fire loop of Roseville and come back. But realized that there were several groceries that we needed as well before the snow hit.
Sure.
And because we had promised to make dinner for our housemate. And so we left at 8 in the morning, exhausted ourselves with a shopping trip on Sunday, and then grabbed a couple of last few craft supplies and drove home just as the snow began to really hit, and made it home safe and sound and brought in all the groceries, put those away, and then crashed for several hours and then got up and cleaned and watched the snow accumulate and read books we had a like a nice bath together, and just like read books quietly there in the hot water. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Strong recommend.
If you have a tub big enough for it.
Well, you know, I'm few are the tubs where my knees and shoulders can be under the water at the same time anyway. So I'm pretty good about making room, and my spouse is quite a bit smaller than I am.
That's true.
So it works out. We're very, very good friends. I finished the book that I was reading and all of that. Got in some good video gaming time, got in some good like house arranging time and things like that. But we had intended to do a lot more at home and to save up our energy on Saturday or for Saturday to stay home on Friday and just kind of relax and get things prepped. And that did not happen because I was suddenly made aware that I had missed a conversation in which I was named one of the judges for the Vilten Amateur Show.
Oh.
So, that happened somewhat urgently, because, call for that was at 6:30 and it was, I want to say 5 when I found out.
Oh God.
So, I just completely missed the message on, I think it was like the 1st or the 2nd of March. And so this was very exciting. We made it there with plenty of time. It was all set, all prepped. This was my first year judging. We had 6 absolutely phenomenal entrants. We had 7. One of them had to drop out due to recent happenstance. And we had 6 fucking incredible applicants. They rocked that show super hard. It was 2.5 hours of show, and it was not boring for an instant.
Nice.
The audience, we had it was crammed full. We got permission to add 3 chairs around the edges, and that was about all we dared
wow.
to do. We had Strike Theater absolutely packed to the gills, and the judges were standing off to the side.
Wow.
So it was very fucking full. Great laughs, great audience interaction. The writing work that the amateurs did was some of the best I've seen, including like they, 4 of the 6 made it on cast, and they deserve it. They are there under their own power. So it's a banner year. I don't think anybody was expecting that. And, judging is hard. It was really, really difficult because even if somebody was nervous and it was coming across through their performance, something like that, they were still doing things well. And so it was picking from really good performances, picking, you know, nits, finding sure. this thing here or that thing there. Lots of fairly intense conversations. I think of more than 50% of the votes that we had to do involved time out in the hallway with a little bit of heated discussion. And then after the 2.5 hour show, after everyone had been ushered out, I think we added another 2 hours on top of that, just going through it. So it was a tough year for us. It was a great year for them. I am extremely gratified to have been part of it and also to have gotten to see it. Because who knows if we're going to see that again. Definitely, you know, when in a year when maybe one or two people get in, there are applicants who may not apply again. And so we'll see what happens. I hope that the remaining two do apply again. But oh man, from the very first volley, immediately they had us. We were like seasoned, hardened vilifiers laughing.
Nice.
At people's jokes. Shit. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to all of these new cast. We surprised them with a couple of things: a vilification taskmaster task, an unscheduled dance break, and several Ooh. Other things.
Nice.
And then went through what I think are some of the hardest improv games. Chain Murder being one of them, where you have to communicate the person who was killed, the place where it happened, and the object used for murder, you know, the clue
mm-hmm.
setup, without, you know, completely in gibberish, just through gestures. And it has to happen three more times, basically. Or, well, it happens three times in total. The detectives are called in one at a time, and then the second person communicates it to the third communicates it to the fourth. And so it's also kind of okay. a game of telephone. It's
sure.
Fuck, it's so fun. And then mm-hmm. dating game, which is having played that several times and having like gotten kind of a knack for it at times, it is still, that is a daunting game to play.
That's a game that I'm really good at if I mm-hmm. actually know what's being referenced.
Right.
But right. there are so many times where, like, because I'm not a pop culture person. I don't, if somebody was, say, like Kim Kardashian, I would have mm-hmm. next to no idea how to right. even go about that, let alone a name I've never heard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, so I agree. Like, I'm pretty good overall, but like, I don't know who it is. And that's yeah. always the fucking risk, right?
Because it's a game. Yeah. Especially because it's a game that relies on audience suggestions. Mm-hmm. That is so rough.
Yeah.
But they did that. They did it super well. Yeah, it was a blast. Nice. So yeah, that was how I spent my Friday. And then came home at, you know, like one, something in the morning and crashed. And then
can't imagine why.
Right. Mm. Right. Just even it not being physically involved for the judges. I found that it was a lot like, when I'm helping to marshal the fencing tournament.
Yep.
When I'm one of the ringmasters for the fencing tournament, because you are just paying attention to
everything.
Absolutely everything. Every movement, yeah. every expression, every, you know, the audience reaction, everything. You have to clock all of it in order to make a good decision. And it, like, that was a lot. I think it's making good use of my autism, but
sure.
It is exhausting to just be like mentally wide open for
right
2.5 hours. Yeah. But yeah, my congratulations to all six of them for putting on a banger show. That was fucking awesome. And then next week, or not next week, next month, we're coming back with one of our regular shows, and we may have some of the amateurs in that, but we may also give them a break to just rest.
Throw them all on stage right away. Just check them on stage.
Bit. Yeah. Yeah. They're ready. That's the scary thing, is that they are fucking ready.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So, that's, yeah. And then just enjoying watching snowfall without going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah.
That was really nice. My wife, not so much, but having the kids home for spring break, mm-hmm. it was just like, they got to have an actual snow day.
mm-hmm. yeah. Fuck. Right. Yeah.
Because COVID ruined snow days.
A little, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of districts instituted policies where they were like, all right, these poor kids aren't getting any snow days anymore. So we're going to program in a number of actual snow days so that even if they are sent home, they don't have to be plugged in and learning
right.
for a certain number of these. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like snow days are such an important part of childhood.
I completely agree.
Jenna doesn't like snow. Fucking hate snow days.
I hate children. It's the whole thing.
The trifecta. Yeah. This fruit salad. Do you like fruit? No. Do you like salad? No. Probably not for you then.
I was amused. Because whenever there's been snow after there hasn't been snow for a long time, I blame salsa.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody else on Facebook blamed salsa before I could get to it.
mm.
And I was like, God damn it. God damn it. So then I just made a post that was like, I'm going to say I got this snow for my friend salsa. Aww. He's been so bummed out. We haven't had snow for so long. I did this for him as a kindness, and I am not at all bitter about it.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was definitely amused that other people have kind of decided that the snow is Salsa's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It amuses me greatly, especially now that I am not on Facebook anymore, right. really. Because
even better.
I'll be walking around the house and suddenly my wife comes up to me and goes, people are on Facebook are talking about you. It was like,
oh,
what? It's like, oh yeah, they're blaming you for the snow. I was like, oh, that's still a thing.
mm-hmm.
Yep, still a thing. And yep, I will happily help perpetuate this.
Yeah, no, it has become its own thing now. It has a life of its own.
Hmm.
Ray.
You know, and if that's my legacy, I suppose at least I have one.
Yeah, not those kids, but
no.
But the snow thing. That's
God damn it.
Hmm. Should we take a break?
I had things I did. Okay. I didn't just make pie. Fucker.
Oh, all right.
You had the conch and you threw it.
I was contributing to the pie conversation.
I see.
Right. So yeah, I lost a comedy tournament.
Oh shit.
Well, by lost, I mean I came in third.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Voyage has been doing something they call March to the Stage, where they got 16 people to write jokes. It's all online. And so they have like their tagline Tuesdays and their Frisky Fridays. And, you know, it's you have to write a tagline for the prompt, or you have to, you know, Frisky Friday is sex with me is a lot like, and then prompt. Mm-hmm. To nobody's surprise, I was much better at the Frisky Fridays than I was the Tagline Tuesdays.
Well, just out of experience, really.
Right. Wait. Nope, still accurate. So anyway, but yeah, I was in this with several people. My week two, I had to go up against Keith, our buddy Keith.
Oh.
And he and I actually tied. For votes. And I won the coin toss.
Oh.
So then last week I went up against a person named Andy. Very funny. Came up with a fantastic tagline. My Frisky Friday, I thought was better. And had gotten more votes. But his tagline absolutely just floored it. So he ended up taking it, and now he is in the final bracket. This week, he and Duck Washington are facing off.
Oh, shit.
And that's the thing I'm sad about, is that if I had beaten him, I would have been facing Duck Washington. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be in the last two with Duck so bad.
Mm.
And I missed it by 3 votes.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, see, I knew it was coming. So yeah, I did that. And then I worked out with Robin, and we took some pictures of me in my workout outfit and post them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And nobody has made inappropriate comments. I'm very happy for it.
On the internet?
Salsa, what are we doing?
I know I'm not on Facebook, but there's still got to be some assholes still there.
Yeah, no. I mean, even Rega was respectful. I did very specifically be like, look, I'm posting these pictures because I'm trying to work on some body positivity and not looking at my body and thinking of how much I look like my mom. So, like, please, you can look, but don't leer, is how I said it. And yeah, everybody's been really respectful about that. And I'm making nice comments about how strong I look, and it's quite lovely. So I might share some pictures on Discord, but only if people agree to be equally respectful. But I was pretty pleased with them. I'm starting to see like some muscle curvature, which is nice. Lovely. And
that's fucking awesome.
My mom was a fat blob, so. And there's nothing wrong with that, but like because she was so just, like she was very much so the quintessential sit on the couch eating bonbons watching soaps kind of person, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she just did not exercise or anything like that. And that's what it is. But for me to not look like her specifically, yeah, it's nice for me to be able to look at my body as it starts to get more definition and look less like her in that.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, from personal experience, feeling like you resemble a parent that you think is okay is... It can be mentally difficult. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine.
Well, and like, I mean, the thing is, I've been working on my weight back and forth for a while, and I've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much about being bigger than I used to be. Mm-hmm. It's about looking like my mom, right? Mm-hmm. That's been the issue for me. And I lost some weight and I looked less like my mom, but I hit a plateau. So being able to work on more muscle definition has really been helpful for me in not looking like my mom. It's a weird kind of not being happy with your body.
Yeah.
That I've been working hard to work around. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Now, should we take a break?
I mean, I'm good with that.
I mean, sure.
I mean, Salsa, if you want to keep talking, that's fine.
Oh, thank you. You all heard it. She gave me permission.
I did.
Oh, God.
I'm going to play some phone games. You have fun.
All right. My turn to talk. And what I'm going to say is we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com. Are you aware of the shrimp color thing, Salsa?
No.
Scientists had said that shrimp could see fucking millions of colors more than us because they have a dozen different color receptors in their eyes where we have just three, and
cones, yeah,
that, you know, their receptors were, would therefore allow them to see so much more than us. But now they're saying that's simply not the case, that their brain can only perceive color that activates the cones and cannot see anything between them.
Do they have inactivated cones?
No. So they have to, in order to see a color, they have to have a cone for that color.
Okay, so like we can make up the concept of like magenta, but they're like, nope, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Unless they have a cone for it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I guess they have a small number of cones, so they really only see a very finite number of colors.
I'm reading a book. I've mentioned before this book about people that where magic is based on color.
Mm-hmm. Should we come back for this?
There's this.
I feel like we're already back.
Okay.
Should we come back?
Yeah.
Baby, come back.
We can blame it all on AON.
And we're going to... I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
But no, I was just going to say that it's interesting in this book that I've mentioned before, that where magic is based on color. There's a new character in the second book. New character is introduced. Mm-hmm. She can see the same amount like of colors that we can, but shift it up.
Oh.
So she can see in ultraviolet.
Okay.
But she can't see red.
Ah.
Interesting.
So like she has the same breadth of visible light, just moved up a color.
Huh. Yeah.
So it was that kind of reading that, it was just like, that is a wild take on that. You know, like how like kids can hear that and adults can't, like the super high pitch.
Yeah.
Sounds.
And the older you get, the harder it is for you to hear.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of reminded me of that, where like there's the frequency of color that she can see is shifted up into that register where most people can't see it. But because of the shift, then she loses the other end of it.
Which is very like there's a weird overlap with Terry Pratchett.
Mm.
Because the color of magic is the eighth color as well. Yeah. That is visible to magic wielding persons or magical beings. Yeah.
But like again, because this color, is it, like magic is based on these colors, because she can see these colors all the way up into like a new register, like her magic is kind of, and I don't want to say too much because I might be getting spoilers wrong. Well, it's partial spoilers, and I'm less concerned about that and more concerned with making sure I get my information correct and I'm not saying the wrong thing. But it's almost like X-ray, where like her magic, like she can, if she uses magic, she can like see through people's clothing. Huh. And she uses it as a pickpocket.
Oh, sure.
Like,
oh,
so she can see if people are armed. She can see if, you know, with hidden weapons, she can see, you know, when she's trying to pickpocket a specific item off of somebody, she can spot exactly where it is in their clothing.
That's fun.
And like, there's a thing where basically they like kill someone without leaving a mark, because like the magic like penetrates through them without having to go through them.
So somebody who could see it, who could see that spectrum, might be able to tell, but someone who can't
Yeah, exactly.
But
instead of being like a solid thing, like chopping off someone's head, it like x-rays through their head and damages them internally.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. So anyway, dear listeners, what prompted all of this in the first place is we started talking about what we decided we were going to talk about, what we've been watching, what we've been reading, the medium we've been consuming. And I started talking about this book. I'll let other people talk. Anybody else been reading any books or anything like that? I can come.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about books and then we can come around again.
Mm-hmm.
Any other books?
I just finished Seven Eves, and I have some I have qualms about this book.
What was it called?
Seven Eves by Neal Stephenson.
Oh, okay.
It weirdly kind of dips a toe a little dangerously deep into eugenics a little bit of a spooky way. It is a very good book. I don't think that is the intention. It is nevertheless
there are extenuating circumstances that prompt it.
Definitely, yeah.
It's not because of somebody being an asshole.
No, but it is like there's a lot there, and I couldn't help but be a little troubled by it. It was a little, but it's a very compelling book, nonetheless. It's really well written. I would like very much to compare notes with someone else who's read it. I have also been reading a book called Trust Me, I'm Lying, which is upsetting. It's a deeply upsetting book about media manipulation, how somebody can get bullshit, you know, into the media by circulating a series of low-level sites and trading favors with people and exposure with people in order to, you know, then move up to slightly higher level sites, and that those get picked up by the 24-hour news cycle that is just ravenous for new content, that is, you know, champing at the bit to be the first to break a story, the source of whatever major scoop. Yeah. So it's upsetting, because it's very real, and and it's like, that's a gross feeling. And I'm also rereading one of my favorite books, which is upsetting in a different way. I'm just kind of making the tour of
you're just traveling upsettedness
a little bit. And it is I'm rereading Last Chance to See, which was I think next to last in the books that Douglas Adams had written. It is a very short book, but it is the very humorous reflection on being a science fiction author asked to travel to different countries to visit animals that are endangered or on the very brink of extinction, you know, like where they're saying there may not be any left there. They may just be done. But you know, or there may just be one, which is functionally the same. And it's upsetting because it's now 40 years later. Now I can go and watch the TV series, which is after Douglas's death. Stephen Fry picked up the burden of revisiting all of these places and sort of humorously, very Britishly wandering his way through various places on Earth and trying to tread lightly and see what improvements have happened or where things are. And so I'm looking forward to that. But that's been a book that Jax and I have been reading when it's time to get ready for bed, and it's been very, very good. And one of the things that we've been listening to while we are driving places is Legends and Lattes, and I can only describe it as one of the most cozy, joyful, delightful books that I've been exposed to in the last, maybe my whole life, but probably the last 10 years.
So less upsetting.
Hardly upsetting at all. Okay. So if you are a person who enjoys fantasy and who maybe just wants a swords and sorcery book that feels a lot like watching Great British Bake Off or some other, you know, very genteel and wholesome thing, it really feels good to listen to. And it's the author is reading it in this case, in the audiobook. But it's great and it's captivating. So yeah, it's extraordinarily well written. Jenna, what have you been reading?
Well, I was reading the complete Bridgerton Chronicles. Here's the problem. Because I checked it out from the library. And it's very big, and I have not had as much time as I've wanted for reading. I had to e-return it. Like I think there was an option for me to like renew it or something, but there are people waiting on it, and I was like, I don't know how much time I'm going to be able to dedicate to this, so I had to return it. I might try checking out the individual books as opposed to the complete collection. One-on-one to do that, but there's a wait list for those two. So I'm just like, well. So yeah, haven't really been reading as much as I'd like. Just, you know, life stuff, happenings, things. So that's what about you, Salsa? What have you been reading? Anything?
We started with me.
Yeah, we started with him.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, right, we did. I'm very distracted tonight.
Oh, well, I also talked for a long time, which should not surprise anyone.
That I'm absolutely surprised, yes.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. We can move on to the next topic, though.
Sure.
But that would be video games. I've been playing, like I do, a game that came out a while ago. Been playing Dragon Age Inquisition.
Ooh.
I've played the first couple Dragon Ages. I finally got around to getting this one. It's a Dragon Age game, you know. It is.
Oh, that explains the title.
Yeah, I know, right? It's kind of what you get. There's, you know, storylines that tie back to the original games, you know, so various characters that will show up and people will be angry at them for, you know, and if you haven't played the first couple games, you won't know why, but you also don't necessarily need to know. You can just pick up the game and play it and you'll just, oh, they have backstory, I guess. I mean, if you've played a Dragon Age game, you know basically how this game goes. So you run around, you do the thing. I'm enjoying it. I enjoy that kind of game. And you know, doing all the running around and killing the things and you know, romancing your companions and interacting and trying to make choices that are the best for your character and stuff like that. So
yeah,
that's what I've been playing. What about y'all?
I've been playing Valheim with my family still. We are exploring the Mistlands.
The Mistlands. Ooh.
Yeah. In Valheim, we've
Who's been
exploring been
missing
the,
them.
Oh my God.
The Vikings, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Not the inhabitants. They certainly wouldn't have.
I mean, the whole conceit of Valheim is that you're dead and you go to Valheim as opposed to Valhalla or one of the other post-life.
Oh, so they did. So I tried to get into Valhalla, but I missed.
But yeah.
I knew James was going to like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Odin basically places you in Valheim because there have been like dark things a-brewing, so he needs heroes to come in and clean up this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
So then you do. And it's a little survival-y. There's crafting things, there's planting, there's all the rest of that, but there's also a good amount of exploration and killing shit. So it works out great for the whole family. I can tend the gardens and shoot things with my bow and arrow.
Mm-hmm.
I am definitely a sniper or a marksman type fighter. Mm. I can do some hunting. I have to. Next time we play, I am supposed to go into the Mistlands, which scares me. I'm going to die.
Into the Mistlands.
But I need to shoot some rabbits for some food that I want to make. So
are they wascaling?
They might be.
Hmm. I wish you the best luck.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah. I'll probably die a few times trying to do that, but...
Well, with that attitude...
Well, yeah.
I just, sometimes you know your limitations. But yeah, I've been playing that. I've also been playing on my phone. I have a game. It's called Hexasort.
Oh.
Have you heard of this?
No, but it sounds like it's got spreadsheets.
Mm. No, it's a kind of a tile stacking game.
Oh, I was thinking Hexus.
No, Hexa. Hexa. What
the heck?
Yeah, it's a tile stacking puzzle game type thing where you've got hexagon-shaped tiles and hexagon-shaped squares. And you have to place stacks of tiles next to other stacks of tiles, but you're trying to match colors. You're trying to place colors next to each other so that the colors will stack on top of each other. And then if you stack enough of them, they go away, which makes more space on the board for you to place more things.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to get stacks tall enough to go away and enough of those stacks to hit a certain goal. But the board shapes will be different. Some of them have unlockable spaces where after you've put a certain number of tiles in your basket, it unlocks the space so that you've got more space to work with. And the further you go, they introduce more colors. And the stacks will be... They can be all the same color, or they can be like the first part is one color, the second part is another color. And so you're trying to place them in between those colors so that it'll sort appropriately. It's a sorting game. It's a tile sorting game.
Okay, so it is.
Yeah.
I mean, okay.
You weren't wrong, but you weren't correct.
Which is the best kind of correct.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
technically it was the best kind.
Huh?
Anyway. So yeah, I've been playing that. Mm-hmm. I still occasionally dabble in Palia, which is just a delightful, just relaxed world thing mm-hmm. where I get to do more hunting. So that's nice. Yeah.
Spending the whole class time shooting buffalo in Oregon Trail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah, that's roughly what I've been up to.
Right.
What about you, James?
I played a little bit of Fix Fox, which is, it's fucking great. Yeah. It feels really good to play. It reminds me a lot of almost like a combination of platformers and old point and click adventure games. So it's it combines the satisfaction of those two genres. King's Quest and similar things where you would click on the screen, or Grim Fandango, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You discover things by repeatedly trying menus and clicking on things and trying to combine things from your inventory into other things. And but it's also like, don't get sucked out of the fucking airlock also. So it's good. Mm-hmm. I like it. Another one that I've played, which is very weird. It's so fucking weird. Is called Potion Craft. And you are trying to move around and discover new things on a map, but the way that you move is by adding ingredients. So a specific herb will cause your little player icon to move on the map a certain number of steps. Or it will point in a direction, and the more you stir the potion, the farther you go in that direction up to a certain point. And different herbs also have like a button hook shape or a zigzag shape, or you know, things like that. It's very novel and pretty fun. You're also trying to make things that will serve customers who are coming in. And so you're also trying to discover what combinations of things will create specific potions. It's weirdly intuitive once you see that what you are doing with the herbs and the stirring and all of that shit, that is having an effect on the map. It's very well designed and super new and different. I completed Never Alone, which is an Aleutian Islander game.
Yeah.
It is a charming story of adventure and loss, and it's nice.
I've seen that one played, and I mean, that one's all about the story, and mm-hmm. oh, buddy, that and story.
The interviews. You unlock interviews with Inuit people who talk about their experiences, both with their people and their traditions, but also how things are in the modern day, and it's deeply emotional in many different ways. Strongly recommend. Completed Unpacking and started on Portal Revolution, which I think I've talked about on the podcast. There's Portal 1 and Portal 2, and the story of Portal Stories Mel happens, I guess, before Portal 1. And the story of Portal Revolution happens between Portal 1 and Portal 2. And the puzzles are hard. They are very, very hard. You do not get the second portal until like stage 20. So your brain is working overtime in order to make that work. Another game that I've been playing is Drunken Robot Pornography, which is not as X-rated as the title would lead you to believe. It is a three-dimensional run-and-gun first-person shooter. Shooter platformer. You're jumping all over platform areas and trying to collect power-ups that give you like absurd bullet hell gun fire, and you're trying not to get hit by incoming fire or enemies that are trying to crash into you, and you're also trying to collect like score bonuses and things like that. It's very fun. The stages are very quick. The challenge ramps up very nicely. I strongly recommend that. And then I've also been playing International Space Banana.
What?
Where you are a scientist from the International Space Station and something terrible has happened. You have been transmogrified, Calvin style, into a banana. And you have effectively two controls, and they are rotate clockwise and rotate anti-clockwise. And you are trying to use your rotation to throw yourself into buttons and to shove things around in weightlessness or near weightlessness in order to surmount obstacles and hopefully turn yourself back into a human. And the challenge of it is very good. It's one of these things like getting over it with Bennett Folly or whatever his name is. Surgeon Simulator, one of these things where the controls are maybe difficult, but most of the difficulty comes with just getting it to do the thing that you want it to. It's a physics simulator that you're playing in. But I have to say my favorite part of International Space Banana is the dialogue, where this person who has been turned into a banana is just, it almost sounds like Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead. Like it's that type of, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead 3, Army of Darkness. Just that constant meta narration is so fucking good. It's very well written.
Okay.
So strongly recommend. Yeah. Mm. Those are what I've been playing.
All right. Yeah. I guess what you've been watching.
Avatar. All of the Avatar. Cool. So much Avatar.
James?
I'm sorry. I watched the live action.
It sounded pretty final, so.
Well, no, I've been watching all of the Avatar. Not the movie, but I watched the Netflix live action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if I've talked about this one on the podcast. But I liked it overall. I have some quibbles. But there are a lot of things that I actually really enjoyed. It helps to think of it as more of a perspective shift take on Avatar, as opposed to like a lot of people are like, it's a remake. And it's like, no, it was never intended to be like a shot for shot of the cartoon type thing. Like that was never the goal. And people that are upset that it's not a shot for shot remake of the cartoon kind of bugs me. I do get where some people are like, oh, they're missing like character connection stuff. And yeah, they changed certain aspects of some of the characterizations. And I think that they forgot to replace the connective aspects, which is a little sad. Especially in the beginning, towards the end of the season, they actually do start connecting better and you get more of more relationship interaction with the characters. So that's nice, but there are some other story elements that they've added, specifically like Zuko's story gets a lot more fleshed out a lot quicker. And they did one thing that I thought was absolutely a couple of things with Zuko that I thought were just beautiful. So, and yeah, the CGI and the costumes and everything are so much better than that god-awful movie they made. So, low bar, cleared it. But no, like, it's actually really well done production-wise. So, I do recommend it. It's not a 10. I think it's about a 7, maybe a 6, depending on my mood. But, like, it's still good. It's still worth your time, if that's your thing.
Yeah.
But then I also have been rewatching the cartoon again, because I got a taste of Avatar, and then I needed more Avatar, so. And if you need to know anything about Avatar, come talk to me.
All right.
So, I think I've been watching anything other than Avatar, actually.
I've been watching Australian Taskmaster, which is fucking fantastic. We've talked about Taskmaster ad nauseum.
It's pretty good. I think he's a good host, but I still think the assistant irritates me.
The Taskmaster one that just isn't hitting for me is Taskmaster US. I love Reggie Watts. It's just not landing for me though. I don't.
Reggie Watts.
Isn't the host for Taskmaster US Reggie Watts?
Oh, US. I haven't seen US. Sorry, yeah. I haven't seen US yet.
You're not missing anything, honestly, which feels bad to say, but I would say that's the case. I watched Hazbin Hotel, which is kind of the fucking hotness right now. Like everyone in anime club, everyone in the con circles is just bursting at the seams with Hazbin Hotel. And
what's it about?
It's like,
because I haven't even heard of it, and I'm like, how far out of the con circles am I?
It's like if you added Dead End Paranormal Park and Steven Universe together and threw in a lot of sex and swearing.
Cool. What's Dead End Paranormal Park?
Dead End Paranormal Park is like Steven Universe if it took place at a horror theme park.
Okay.
And, you know, it is still child friendly, but it's more spooky. There's, you know, a lot more ghosts and like body snatching and stuff. Demons.
All right.
A lot of it is played for laughs, it has a lot of songs in it, very much like Steven Universe.
Okay.
So Hazbin Hotel takes place in hell. Lucifer's daughter is creating a hotel trying to rehabilitate demons and the damned, the souls of the damned, in order to save them, and is trying to pitch this idea to heaven. And there are a lot of like big Broadway numbers, and the music is really good. And the characters are fun and interesting. There's a lot of just, there really isn't any nudity per se. But it is very sexual. It is very like verbally explicit. And there is a shitload of not necessarily bloody violence, but it's just like people get stabbed. There are cannibals that are eating people and stuff. It isn't played for horror or for laughs necessarily. It's weirdly just set dressing, but it's the animation is good. The character designs are fucking cool, but it's, you know, I don't know. I'm experiencing the same conflict that I had when I was watching Hamilton. And that is that everyone went fucking nuts for Hamilton.
Okay.
And I think that Hamilton is good. And I think that the music is super catchy. The lyrics are good, but it's just, for some reason, it's not grabbing me. But there will be like one song that really, that I find to be the best song. That's the,
sure,
that's the song that I really hook in with. Yeah. Had kind of the same situation with Phantom of the Opera. But when it comes to things like Les Mis, Moulin Rouge, other musical theater things, I find myself being engaged with every song. I find myself being really, you know, hooked in with the characters and that kind of thing. But it may just be that everyone's love of it has inflated my expectations so high that it's just not, that there's a mismatch between my experience of enjoyment and the like enthrallment that other people are expressing. I don't know, but I think it's good. I think that if you enjoy shows where people are allowed to swear and stab each other and have sex and complicated adult problems that are resolved by, I don't know, tearing other people apart with demon powers, maybe Hazbin Hotel is your thing. The music is great.
Okay.
I don't know. It's that same thing where I recognize that it's quality, but it's just not for me.
And I mean, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Not everything has to be for you.
Not everything mm-hmm. has to be for me.
I mean, you are a white male. Everything should be for you.
I had everything in the 80s. Everything in the 80s was designed for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's what I've been watching. Salsa?
Not a lot, honestly. I've been mentioned before, I was watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Can't do that right now with the kids home from school.
Sure.
Probably not the best thing to expose them to. But
not unless you want teachers to have interesting conversations.
I mean, I kind of do. That's not my concern at all. But yeah, no, I watch a lot of just documentaries about history.
All right.
When I'm working, I have YouTube on all day, and uh-huh. I am subscribed uh-huh. to a whole bunch of history channels, and they just play all day.
Hmm.
That's what I watch. So it's like Time Team and like Chronicle and Timeline and things like that.
Sure.
Just all the time. What I do.
All the time, nonstop.
Pretty much.
Go, go, go.
All the episodes of MathNet are available on YouTube.
Ooh. Haven't uh-huh. seen MathNet for years.
Right. It holds up pretty well.
I loved math.
Same. I felt like that might be important to you.
My name is George Frankly, MathNet. This is my partner, Kate Tuesday.
No, Kate Monday. Kate Tuesday.
Monday, Pat Tuesday. You're right.
Yeah.
Knighted?
I guess.
I mean, I corrected myself too, so.
Mm-hmm.
James got there faster than you did.
Mm. Eh. I'm Not going to argue that. Are we done? Are we going to take a break now?
Yeah, I'm good. I feel like I'm good for a break.
All right, let's do that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll be doing that Fast Five thing that you're looking forward to.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Right.
Now we're back. Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Sure.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Jenna?
I said it.
I saw that you said it, but we didn't hear you.
Yeah, we didn't hear you at all. Anyway,
Fuck off then. Yeah. How's that?
I will. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan Senpai.
Senpai.
Hey, Stefan.
Question. Opening thoughts. Happy vernal equinox.
Ooh.
I hope the days being longer are helping to deal with this loony weather we're having lately. I wouldn't call it loony, but to each their own.
Da 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 da.
Clang.
Do do do. All right. Question number one. Chocolate or marshmallow?
Preferred Easter candy.
Yeah.
A chocolate Easter bunny or a marshmallow peep bunny?
Chocolate.
Yeah, same.
Marshmallow.
I can eat a lot of chocolate. I can only eat a little marshmallow.
Of course I like chocolate. But, like, I will say, if you have never roasted a peep over a fire, do yourself a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking do that.
Those
I think I've talked about this before. But, no, because of all of the sugar on the outside of the peeps... Mm-hmm. When you got to roast it over a fire, it caramelizes and gets a little hard.
caramelizes.
And it is it's like a creme brulee of peep. It is so good. Oh. High recommend. Do yourself a favor. Hold on, it's better when it's stale too. So if you find yourself with some leftover peeps this summer, fucking campfire roast that shit. You're welcome.
I honestly say that's not a problem I've had.
Mm.
Huh. Wow. Mm. Something to do.
Yeah.
Stab a tiny bird.
Yeah.
Caramelize its outsides.
Mm-hmm.
Num, num, num. Mm-hmm. All right. Now that we've gone down that road.
That rabbit hole. Rabbit hole.
Ew.
Question number two. Eggs or baskets?
Oh, which thing was hidden during your Easters?
Both.
Nothing got hidden. I was lucky that there was a basket, so you know. So pretty much that. And honestly, like with my daughter. Mm-hmm. We didn't really do a lot of like hidden things or anything. There were a couple of years. I got plastic eggs and set something up, but she was really about the candy, so it was more of a chore for her to go hunting for plastic eggs. I think had there been another kid around, maybe it would have been different. Because then there would have been more of a competition thing. But as it was, she's like, I'm just going to get all of this anyway. Now you're just making me work for it. And you worked to make me work for it. This is stupid. I'm like, it's fair.
Mother, so, this demeans us both.
Basically. I mean, you've met my daughter. It's pretty much entirely what that was. So
I'm going to go egg.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever did an Easter egg hunt.
No?
No. I don't know that. Maybe at church once ever. But we always had hidden baskets somewhere.
Hmm.
With some kind of clues or a trail or something that would lead us to it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kind of defeats the purpose of hiding it then, isn't it?
I mean, the joy is in following that trail and becoming more and more excited about what must be there, especially if it's a candy trail, and as you're following it, you're like getting candy to hastily jam into your mouth, but then you're also super excited about where it's leading you. So you're just like getting more and more candy into a bucket or a bowl that you're carrying. Mm. And also you're going to find a basket that's full of candy and prizes of some kind, like little toys and stuff. Yeah. Fucking awesome.
Mm.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right, question number three. Hands or mind? Hands.
Huh.
What the hell would the context be for this?
I have no idea, but I don't want to think right now.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, in general, I like solving puzzles. But is there an Easter puzzle?
I mean, there kind of is. Is it important to bring your child to the mall to get like hands-on Easter photos with a bunny? Or is it okay to just like
lie to your child?
This is kind of, you know what? I'm not a parent. I don't know.
Well, that's
my
obvious.
My parents always told us that there was Santa. My parents always told us that there was the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and that kind of stuff. And you know what? Having a little bit of magic in a really legitimately terrible world is okay. Like finding out is a little rough at first, but also it's good for your kid's cynicism. So not everyone was born with a full-sized collegiate level cynicism.
That's true.
So I think your daughter had a leg up on others in that regard. So I would say mind. Like it's okay to just have stories and legends and things like that. I don't. I mean, it's cute to get photos of your kids with Santa or the Easter Bunny or whatever. But I just.
All right. A lot.
It's a lot for you. It's a lot for them.
True.
All right. Question number four. Teeth or feet?
None of the above?
I'm going to go teeth. Because I visit the dentist all the time, but I've never visited a podiatrist.
Huh.
Teeth or feet?
Wow. That's a mystery. Oh, socks or toothbrush? Which non-candy or toy thing did you get?
That's
for Easter.
Real solid thinking there, actually.
I wonder if that might be it.
I was actually thinking when you eat a chocolate bunny, do you start at the bottom or at the top?
Yeah, I was trying
But I feel like that would be ears, not teeth. So
right. But it may just be the inobvious, you know,
right
thing to throw us off the scent. I would say if it's like a toothbrush or socks or something like that. I got a lot of socks. I was always pretty well stocked with like toothbrush, toothpaste, that kind of stuff. That was never an issue. That was never viewed as like a
bad present.
A bad present. But I got fancy socks and saddle shoes and, you know, as much I very much like the Easter Bunny thing, getting photos with, like, I understand the cuteness, but God damn it. Don't put your kids through that. So, like, you hate it. They hate it. It's not worth it. Just let them dress like a Smurf. Let them wear the unicorn onesie to church. Anyone who's going to judge you, they're not worth impressing.
Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like you have a more specific trauma over this than I do.
Yeah, I was about to say, this is oddly like, specific here, James.
Yeah, just a bit. You
know,
There's something you need to tell us there, buddy?
Well, I got long hair now, and I got real bad haircuts as a kid, too, maybe there is something to that.
You want to talk about it?
You know, maybe I'll save that for my therapist. Maybe that's a Friday thing.
Do you need a soda? Can I get you some candy?
Ooh.
I don't have a beverage here anymore. Mm. All right. That's my own fault, though.
I mean, always. All right, question number 5. Pie, P-I, or Ides?
Ooh.
I mean,
which is the better holiday?
Gotta be Pie Day.
Gotta be Pie Day.
I mean, Pie Day you get pie, Ides you get Caesar salad. Well, Caesar salad's good, don't get me wrong. I'm gonna eat the pie.
Right.
I feel like we could probably do with a little more getting together to
stab people.
Yeah. Mm. I do like how cosmically that was arranged. On the 14th, you eat a shit ton of pie, and the day after it's like, have a salad.
That is pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now we just need a salad pie to bring everyone together.
Salad pie is the name of my sex tape.
I don't know.
I love it.
Somebody asked me to define what the gorge is, and I don't know, but it rose.
You don't like a good salad pie? You're the one that came up with the idea, James.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
That was before it was upsetting.
I get it. James is embarrassed.
Yes, that must be it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about sex, and he got uncomfortable.
Also, I can spell socks.
All right, it's time for the context. Question number 1, chocolate or marshmallow? What was your preferred cereal as a child?
Ooh, shit.
Oh.
Marshmallow.
Cocoa Puffs or Lucky Charms?
Neither.
I got to have neither growing up. We didn't do those. We had grape nuts.
Yep.
Or Cheerios.
Yep.
Or shredded wheat.
Yep.
We
were allowed to pick a special cereal for our birthday. And that was your cereal.
Jesus.
Sometimes, okay. Sometimes in our Easter basket, we got one of those little individual cereal boxes.
Oh, we something. Got those sometimes when we were on a, like a fancy vacation somewhere. When it would make no sense to buy a full fucking box of cereal for a breakfast. Mm-hmm. Or where the closest thing was a gas station or something like that. But we would get the little tiny cereals and that was like a fucking delight.
But 99% of the time it was grape nuts or, Rice Krispies or Cheerios or something like that.
Grape nuts hot is a still
very
a,
good, very a good.
Favorite
I
thing
enjoy that.
Or grape nuts with yogurt mixed in.
And when I say shredded wheat, I don't mean frosted mini wheats. We called it bale.
Yeah. Yep.
Cause it was a bale of,
it's a hay bale wheat. In the middle of a bowl of milk and you mash it into the milk and then eat it.
Yep. So we would say I'd like a bowl of bale for breakfast.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
What kind of childhood did you people have?
A farm childhood.
A poor one. Yeah. A poor farm child one.
I also had a poor one. Like legitimately malnourished, but what the shit?
I have clear memories that for my, I think it was my sixth birthday, I bought the Nintendo cereal system, which had one side which was Zelda cereal and the other side was Mario cereal, because there was, we were 100% they were never going to buy us video games, was what they told us, because they rot your brains. But I figured there was a contest to win a power glove. If you got the specific box and you won the fucking thing, you would get a power glove, and I knew that they would not let that money go to waste. That if we got a power glove, they had to buy us a Nintendo.
I see.
And it did not work out, but I did get Mario cereal and Zelda cereal, and I was fucking happy about
that. I think as a kid, the one I coveted more was the Lucky Charms.
Hmm.
Cocoa Puffs, it was just chocolate.
Yeah.
Balls, whereas Lucky Charms had like the marshmallows and the different colors and shapes, it was
see
fancier and more exciting.
Yeah,
I don't know. I remember as a kid getting those big bags of generic Cheerios.
Yeah, yep, we got those.
Oh,
Toastios, I believe is what they were called.
Yep.
That was it.
Yeah.
But the thing is that when I would go to like grandma's or something and they would have Lucky Charms or Cocoa Puffs, it was a bit too rich for me. I just, I've never been a huge cereal person in general. Sure. So I don't know.
When we splurged,
Rice Krispies.
Yeah. When we splurged, we would get like Honey Smacks, but like the generic Honey Smacks or,
I couldn't convince my parents to buy those or Cookie Crisp.
Oh, what were the circle? They look like Cheerios, but they were different colors.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit Loops. Yeah. Fruit Loops, like Fruit Loops. That was a big treat.
I thought you were talking about there was for a while a cereal that was shaped like Cheerios, but they had they were made with different grains.
Mm. Oh, the apple cinnamon Cheerios.
Apple Jacks?
No, apple cinnamon Cheerios. Apple
cinnamon Cheerios, yeah. I don't think I ever had those. Two sound good, but I never had them. Never had those, never had the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But like I said, on rare occasions we would get like a box of Frosted Flakes or something. Mm. We did get, when Raisin Bran was cheap, we got a shitload of Raisin Bran, and I learned to love Raisin Bran so much. I do. I love Raisin Bran thoroughly. Mm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Raisin Bran's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, grape nuts is one of those that like, warm grape nuts, it's good. People, it's always the punchline, but I actually liked it.
Warm Grape Nuts is the title of my sex tape.
All right, moving on.
Oh, God. Oh, I get it now. That's awful.
Now Jen is embarrassed about SES.
Why? What's wrong with socks, Jenna?
Question number two, eggs or baskets. What do you do? What did you do as a kid to celebrate Easter? Go on an Easter egg hunt?
Hey.
Or were you given an Easter basket?
Huh?
Given a basket.
Basket.
We searched for the Easter eggs, but we went on an Easter basket hunt as well.
Oh,
Our Easter basket was hidden.
Sometimes they wouldn't find it for years, and it would be an absolute treat.
Yeah, we all had to wake up and go find our Easter basket.
Yeah.
And then we would have an Easter egg hunt later.
Ah.
So one of the weirder stories from my childhood was that my parents used to hide...
Weird.
I already don't believe you, James.
Wait, weirder than the other ones?
Yes. And, so when I was just a baby, my parents would hide for my sister, not for me, but for my sister, would hide those little plastic eggs. There was one egg in particular that they would hide somewhere, and sometimes they would put candy in it, and sometimes they would not. And I want to say she went to look for it every single day and found it not filled with candy two times. And then she started only looking for it when there was candy in it. And they hadn't told her whether there would be candy in it. So they were a little fucking mystified about why she would show complete interest when there would be candy, but not when there wasn't. And, you know, it was probably that she could hear cupboards closing or something that they had not thought of, but
yeah, there was some forescouting going on.
Always knew.
Right.
But there wasn't really a way that she could have snuck downstairs because of the way that the house was structured. She always knew when there was no candy in it and wouldn't have any interest in going to look for it, hunt for it. And they asked, like, well, why aren't you looking for it? And she said, because there's no candy in it. And they said, how do you know that there's no candy in it? And she, like, super matter-of-factly told them, like, the crocodiles tell me.
Oh, my God.
And wouldn't explain that any further. Just that the crocodiles told her that there was no candy today.
I don't know how I feel about any of this.
Right. But she always knew whether or not there was candy, and she would only go look for the egg when there was. She got fooled like two times and never again. I don't know.
Well, all right then.
Yeah.
Well done, I guess.
You've met my sister.
I have met your sister.
Yeah.
So did they ever find out?
Or no.
Just this is where the end story ends?
No, that's fucking it. She said the crocodiles tell her, and they never figured out what the fuck that meant or how she knew.
Cool. All right, moving on. Question number three, hands or mind. Which type of puzzle do you find more engaging?
Holy shit.
Ones you manipulate or ones you have to think about?
I mean...
All of the above?
All of the above.
I fucking love puzzles. I don't... Yeah. Why are we discriminating?
I have owned many Rubik's Cubes.
I believe this.
I've owned many Rubik's Cubes. I have never solved one. I've solved similar puzzles, like sliding tile puzzles and marble puzzles and all kinds of, like, you've got to move the lights out puzzles and all fucking lots and lots. I've never fucking figured out the Rubik's Cube. Someone has described to me the process of solving one. I know what the steps are, and I still haven't been able to do that. So it might just be that I need to, I don't know, sit down with one over a summer and fucking figure it out.
Mm.
But I watch people solve the 3x3x3s in literally like 2-3 seconds, and it just blows my mind.
I can do that.
Yeah, that doesn't
surprise. I used to be better at it. There is a certain like pattern recognition thing, and I've kind of, I think I lost it when I took a hit to the head, but I used to be able to do it. How's that?
Yeah. Fair enough.
Mm. All right. Question number 4, teeth or feet? Which is worse to have persistent discomfort you have to deal with?
Teeth. Teeth.
Feet.
You can sit down.
Persistent discomfort. Yeah, you can...
But you can sit down, you can put your feet up. Teeth. I fucking hate it. Anything that removes joy from eating.
You've won me over.
Yeah. I've got problems with both, and I think about the teeth discomfort much more than I do my foot discomfort. So I think I'm going to go teeth.
Hmm. Yeah. Having arthritis in one of my toes and only one of my toes, for some fucking reason, also having once waited 8 years to have wisdom teeth out, teeth. Teeth all day. Like, a foot can hurt. It sucks. I've had multiple surgical procedures on my feet.
Mm-hmm.
You get over it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had braces twice. I had jaw surgery. Like, I've dealt with teeth pain for years. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Like,
it's misery.
I dealt with it.
Sure.
So I think, All right. Question number 5, pie or Ides. What is more important? Eating pie on Pie Day, ooh, or the next day sharing Joseph Scrimshaw's joke about the importance of people coming together to stab in groups? Eating pie.
Eating pie.
Yeah. It's a great joke.
Yep. Closing thoughts. Bye-bye. I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye. I love you. Bye.
If you would like to send in a Fast 5, go to AONpodcast.com, click on Submit a Fast 5, and fill out the form. Does anybody have anything, any shout-outs?
I want to give a shout-out to Pi Day. That was delightful. Thank you. The end.
Agreed.
Mm.
My shout-out is going to be not only to the the 7 people who applied, the 6 people who performed, but also to my fellow judges for the Vilten Amateur Show. Fuck. What a good time.
Mm.
What an amazing thing to take part in.
I'm going to give my shout out to Pi.
Yay, Pi.
Pi's amazing. The end. Anybody have anything to plug?
Nope.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Stefan for sending in the Fast 5. You should do the same thing. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha.
Verbal. Caramel Jazz Fingers.
Caramel Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.